In 2 Timothy 3:16, you can turn there. And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. Now this says all scripture, that includes the Old Testament, is inspired by God. Now, therefore God says this Bible is inspired and it's literal. Now, can we prove that this Bible is literal and not just accepted on blind faith? You know, there's a lot of religions now that follow this Bible and they follow it on faith. But can you prove? It does tell us in 2 Thessalonians 5:2, prove all things, hold fast to what is good. So God is saying you can prove all scripture is inspired. And we want to know, and I want to know, am I following, you know, what God wants me to do? And I'll explain later when I had some doubt. Turn to Isaiah 41. And we're going to read verses 21 and 23. Before I read them, though, these verses, what they're doing, they're challenging people who believe in false gods to prove their God exists. Not just have blind faith. Somebody has to be wrong if everybody has a faith that this Bible is right, and we all have 500 different Protestant religions. So we want to prove that. Now, God tells us what to do. In verse 21, it says, produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasoning, says the King of Jacob. Now, in the Revised Standard, it says, set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proof. You say you are following these gods and these idols that you have. Bring your proof and prove that they are God. So God tells them how to prove their gods are real. And this is challenging any religion. We're going to challenge our religion now. And if you want to think somebody else is right, challenge their religions with this proof, because this is what God tells them to do. In verse 22, let them bring forth, show us what shall happen, and then show the former things. In other words, he tells them, bring in your idols, show us what you have foretold to happen, and then tell us where it happened. So God says, the real God will tell you what's going to happen. He'll show you in the Bible where it's going to happen. And his servants will tell you, will show you as you go along where it did happen. Then he says, so that we can consider them and we can know the latter end of them. Or declare us things to come. Show us future events that we can watch what's going to come. So there's two ways that you prove who's the real God of this Bible, who is the servants of this Bible, who God revealed the truth to, because we can look back in what our church has said will happen and see if it happened. And we can also look back and look at information and see if it's happening in the future. Now, in verse 24, we've got an awful small in Indianapolis, it's bigger. And I hate to complain. I walk in this church, and everybody hear how great it is. So I use the bathroom. And there's no paper towels. I get ready to take my coat off in there, because I'm going to use the bathroom. And then there's no hanger. So I complain to my daughter, Rowena. Most of you might have not known she's my daughter. But she thinks she is, so that makes her my daughter. So I complained to Rowena, you got two things, and now I'm up here complaining about your podium. But you never did have a big podium. It's always been a smaller podium. But in verse 24, it says, indeed, you are nothing. So God is telling you up front to these idol gods, you can't do it. You are nothing, and your work is nothing, and he who chooses you and follows you is an abomination. So those that follow who they think their God is, and they can't prove who their God is, they said it's abomination. God is telling them their gods and idols can't do it. They can't foretell the future and bring it to pass. Now, God is telling them and us that he has written down in this Bible what was going to happen to countries and nations and so forth, and you can look at history and prove it came to pass. So you can prove who God reveals this to. He has to reveal it to servants. He's put it in his prophets. But we've got to be able to read this and know what it is. Now look at Isaiah 46. And verse 9. God says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there's none like me. He says, I declare the end from the beginning. So this Bible tells you the end from the beginning. And he's going to reveal to his servants what this Bible says is going to happen and what will happen. He then, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, in Luke 21:36, and here God said he's going to tell you the end from the beginning. In Luke 21:36, God says he has foretold future events, and if you watch, he wants you to watch them to come to pass. So God expects us, if we're his servants, to know what future events are going to come and watch them come to pass. Now in verse 21:7, they asked Jesus, what's the signs of your coming? Matthew 24 is the same. And he lists all the signs of his coming, which I'm not going to go through now. And he says, watch them. So we should know, as these come along, are we in God's church? Is this being revealed to God's church? Now, can anybody that reads the Bible understand these prophecies? If not, how does God reveal them? Turn to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Here it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. Now God says he won't do anything in major affairs that he won't reveal to his servants, and notice it's a secret. It isn't something that you and I can just pick up and read. I was a Protestant from the time I, 19 years old to I was 35 years old, and I couldn't do this. Then I started reading the literature, and I got really interested in prophecy, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. Now, it said he's going to reveal this to his servants. So his servants should be able to tell us what's going to happen, and we should be able to look back and see if it does. In Jeremiah 29, it says, the prophet which prophesies of peace. Now, are we prophesying of peace? When you have your Kingdom of God seminars, what are you telling people? When we're on TV, what are we telling people? The kingdom of God will come and bring this world to peace. Now, today, even people that don't believe in God see that we need help. This world's in a mess. This country's in a recession. I call it a depression. But it all depends on what's happening to here. So, the prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then you shall know, then the prophet shall be known that the Lord of God has truly sent him. Now, the prophecies are written in the Bible, but we'll see here in Daniel, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to quote it for you, Daniel 12:4, it says, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. So these prophecies are sealed, but then they're going to be revealed to somebody at the time of the end. In verse 9, the words are closed up and sealed till the end, time of the end. So God says in the time of the end, he's going to reveal these prophecies to people, and you're going to understand what's going to happen in the end time. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. I'll find it here in a little bit. Verse 9, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Man does not know, without God's Holy Spirit, without opening your eyes, what he has prepared for those that love him. He's recreated himself. Tells us that when Christ comes, we shall be like him. The world does not see that. But in verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. So you can't understand this unless the Spirit of God opens your eyes. Now, it took me a long time to learn this, and all of you know Angie. Every scripture I showed Angie, she believed. Now, there's a woman by the name of Maybell that I went to Muncie Church with. We would go out every noon after church, and her husband gave sermonettes, Maybell Miller, I think it was. Anyway, she would ask me questions, and I would talk to her from 1 o'clock to 3 or 4 o'clock every day for years and years and years. She never got it. I wasn't smart enough. She wasn't going to get it. See, I just kept doing it until I run into Angie. And when Angie, I showed Angie that David has not ascended to the heavens, she said, that's right. When I showed that nobody has ascended to heaven but Jesus Christ, she said, that's right. When she seen the Bible said it, she believed it. So the reason I'm telling you all this, don't do what I did for 40 years, trying to convert my wife, about causing a divorce, trying to convert your brother or cousin or anybody. If somebody asks you a question and you show them scripture and they don't see it, shut up. Now, if you will talk to Angie, I only told her to shut up about 500 times. Because she kept saying, boy, her husband is practical. He will understand this. No, he won't, Angie. Take my word for it. I about caused a divorce. I've done it all. And I see that God puts you through all this to learn. Now I know if somebody asks me something and I show you a scripture and you question it and doubt it, and I try to explain it to you and you still question and doubt it, shut up. God is not opening their eyes. Yeah. So that isn't in my notes. That's from years of hard experiences. You shouldn't do it. Now, let's prove that our God exists, that this Bible is inspired, and he's foretold what was going to come to pass, and let's reveal it to us, to our church, and to Herbert W. Armstrong, and let's see if that come to pass. Now, back when my son was in Little League, my wife was parked at watching the boy play, and right next to her was a black lady, and they began to talk, and my wife found out she was in the Worldwide Church of God. Now, this has been quite a while ago. He was in Little League. Right now he's 54 years old. So we're talking about 40 so years ago. And my wife got her name and gave it to me. And then I went to her house. And right then I had decided I was going to prove God's church through prophecy. The reason is I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to close my business. And so, how do I know it was right? I didn't accept it like Angie did. I guess I said the Mormons think it's right, and they believe it. And the Jehovah Witnesses think it's right. The Catholics think they're right. Every Protestant and everybody thinks they're right. How do I know I haven't been deceived like they are? And then so I just said, well, I found this article, and here is the old one. And I made a copy of it. Of course, when you copy something in a copier, the paper doesn't last too long. But you can see I have used it a little bit. And I copied it because I can go up on my computer now and I can print any article, magazine, or thing that's ever written by Mr. Armstrong of the Worldwide Church of God. It's all on the computer. Now, here's the same article. Foretold 22 years ago. Oh, boy, I cut that out. This is written in 1956 and said he's going to show you what was foretold 22 years ago. And I thought, well, I'm going to prove this. This is God's church by prophecy. So I'm going to read you the first thing that he said. Back in June of July of 1934, the issue of the plain truth from an article entitled... Let me get rid of this. What is going to happen? He quoted, Scripture prophesies two great military powers to rise in the last days. One is the revival of the Roman Empire by a federation of 10 nations in the territory of ancient Rome. And another one is Gog, which is Russia. So here he is, Mr. Armstrong, is telling us in 1934, I was 4 years old. And what is, I'm going to stress that right now, because when I got done with this sermon in Indianapolis, one woman came up to me and said, well, you lived through all of this, so it's easier for me to understand. Now, I didn't realize I lived through all of it, but I was 4 years old at this time, and Mr. Armstrong was saying that there's going to be a 10-nation federation go together in Europe. Now, he believed it was going to happen in his time. Paul believed it was going to happen in his time. But this knowledge is not to be revealed to the end of the days. I think it's going to happen not in my time, but in a lot of the people that's sitting here. But I might not have that many years. I don't know. I might have 2, 4. I might not get home today. But anyway, that's what he foretold. Now, what was he talking about? Let's turn to Daniel. Chapter 2. And a lot of you is going to see this, have seen this statue. This is the chapter of the statue. This is in a Jehovah Witnesses book. So he sees the statue. Babylon was a head of gold. Medo-Persian was silver. Greece was brass. And the legs were iron. Now this is easy to prove, because in Daniel it says Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. And after him, there was going to be 3 other ones. Up come a second empire, up come a third empire, up come a fourth empire. So you look in history. Now, the first time I did this, after a while, I just finally accepted what the church said. I got so tired of proving everything, and I could never prove it wrong. But in 1995, you probably heard this sermon again, because this time I wasn't even going to accept what he said. So I got history books out, and I got another book I'll show you that I gave sermons on back then. Anybody can prove it to here. The legs were iron, and he says that's a Roman Empire. So did our church say it was a Roman Empire. So does anybody if you want to look it up, because it's 4 empires. Our church, the Bible says these legs are going to last down to 10 toes till Christ comes. The legs are iron. Our Bible says the Roman Empire is going to last down through till Christ comes. So here we have one chapter that tells you from Nebuchadnezzar to Christ comes. And what do we say? What do you say in Isaiah? Look back and see what I've told you. And look and see if it's going to happen. Now, the difference is he comes along here, and somewhere along the legs he says this is the Anglo-American world power. My Bible says these iron legs are going to last down to Christ come. And the iron legs are Rome. So it's got to be Rome. Or the Bible's not right. Then down at the end, he said these clay and iron toes is clay and iron. Political divided world in the end time. He doesn't think it's the Roman Empire. Now, the reason he doesn't, if I would ask any of you, from the time of the Roman Empire went down till now, have you ever seen the Roman Empire? Do you know it existed? You know, most people look at it and say it didn't exist. Well, I can show you that it did. In fact, I can show you Hitler and Mussolini claimed to be the Roman Empire, even though it wasn't a very big Roman Empire. I can also show you in Daniel 7, that fourth empire was going to have 10 resurrections. 3 was going to be subdued. A little horn was going to be with the last 7. And then Christ will come. So you got to have Daniel 7. But the point in this, the Jehovah Witnesses wasn't revealed what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to turn to Revelations, but I want to turn here where I'm at on Daniel 2. In verse 44, here's how Mr. Armstrong was, the verses he took it from. And the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom, these 10 toes are a kingdom, shall be partly strong and partly broken. And in verse 44, when you see this 10 nations united in Europe. And do you know now that they're trying to unite over there? Would you see these 10 nations unite in Europe? And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And we have these Kingdom of God seminars. You know, we don't go into that for this. But God says if you want to know that you're in the right church, if you want to know you have the right knowledge, then we need to look. And when these 10 toes go together, then we know that Christ is going to come and smash them. Well, I'm not going to turn to Revelation, but Revelation 7:12 talks about there's 10 horns. The 10 horns are 10 kings. Verse 14, they will make war with the Lamb, which is Christ. And Christ is going to come and smash those 10 kingdoms and set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And always says also, so those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Do you feel like you've been called? Are you chosen? And are you going to be faithful? We're going to hold out to the end. But so here we have. I'm not going to turn there, but that's what it says. Some of you should know that. Now we're going to get into what was Mr. Armstrong foretold. In 1934, he said the United States of Europe, or a federation of 10 European nations within the bounds of the old Roman Empire, is going to come along. That was in 34. In 1939, he came along and said Spain and Italy and Germany aligned up militarily and will add one more of the 10 prophesied kingdoms to unite. So he constantly preached there would be a 10 nations. He thought it would be in his lifetime. But here's where, if I was him, I'd have gave up a long time ago. In 1939, he's talking about Germany is going to rise and lead a 10-nation European empire. Now, for you young people that don't know, in 1946, Germany got whipped and was laying in ashes. I heard a tape, I quote it to you here, when I was in church in 1970, and said, I come in, I'm going to prove prophecy, so I'm listening to all of it. I heard a tape recorded back in 1946. And Mr. Armstrong was given the tape. Germany was laying in ashes and it would rise to lead a 10-nation European empire. Now, in 39, he was talking about it's going to be up. Now, about the time it went into ashes and got whipped, I'd begin to change my idea. No, he still said it's laying in ashes, it will rise and lead a 10-nation empire. Now, what did I say? I tell you how to tell the truth. Find out where it is said, look and see, prove it happened, then you know who God has sent. Now, in so I'm going to fill this in for the young people. 1946 was the end of World War II. Germany is laying in ashes. Now, Germany, and he says it'll rise and be the leader of a 10-nation European empire. Now, before that, in 1950, Russia had taken part of East Germany and the Eastern nations, and the others were free. Now, if I was Mr. Armstrong, I'd have gave up again. You say it's going to rise and it's laying in ashes. Now you say it's going to join and there's a wall down the middle. In 1950, he said, before Russia is ready, a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some of the present puppets of Russia. So he didn't use these words, but he said the wall would come down, that it would split, East Germany and West Germany would come together, and some of these other nations would. Now, here it is, a wall up. It's seeded from ashes. The wall come up, and he's still predicting the same thing. In 1952, in a plain truth, it said Russia may give East Germany back to the Germans and will be forced to relinquish his control over Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and parts of Austria to complete the 10-nation union. That was in 1952. Mr. Armstrong died in 1984. 86. Right. In 1989, the wall come down. Now remember, he foretold it in 39, he foretold it in 34, he foretold it in 50, he foretold it in 52. The wall came down, Germany united. And also some other nations come in. Now right now I think there's 27 nations over there united. 17 of them are on the euro. So There's only going to be 10. There was another thing that God said, if you want to prove who the God is, who's the real God, who I'm revealing this to, watch the future. It'll be 10. And Germany will be the leader. Now, is any of that going on at this time? Well, I'll get another book here that you guys have. I gave a number of sermons out of this back in 95 and so forth, written by Adrian Hilton. He is a theologian and he's a politician, and he wants England out of the European common market. Now, they're not part of the 10 yet, because he sees once this common market goes together, politically, where one man is telling everybody what to do, England will be in major trouble. So he wrote this book, told them to get out of this European empire. Now, how many of you know that Mr. Armstrong said England would never be a part of the 10 nations? See a few hands. That's what Mr. Armstrong said. Do you remember what he said when England became part of the 10 nations? Well, not part of the 10, part of the European common market. He said they won't stay. So he had knowledge and confidence that Germany was going to rise, even when it was in ashes, that England would not become a part of the final 10 nations, and it would come out of it. Well, this guy wanted them to come out of it because, we'll see what he understood. And this guy had never heard of Mr. Armstrong, by the way. And I heard somewhere where Meredith went to visit him. So I asked Meredith, did he ever hear of Mr. Armstrong? And he wrote back and he said, no, he asked the same question. He had never heard of him. So he said he's heard of him since then. But here's what he knew in 1997. This is a splendid book, The Prince of Power and the Power of Europe, gives a sound and unbalanced assessment of the current dangers to the United Kingdom caused by our membership of the European Union. Consequences of our belonging to a federal union in which we would no longer have control over our own economy. So he sees that's what's going to happen. When these 10 nations go together, now they're united with the euro, which is economically. When they go together politically, the 10 nations will all lose their power, and whoever is the head nation is going to be the political leader, which will be Germany. Now, you can watch it. When it happens, I'm not the one it was revealed to. I'm the one that God has opened my eyes, and I've really studied prophecy. I went out to Pasadena one time. Well, I was out there on a 3-week ministerial thing when it was Mr. Armstrong was trying to put it back on the right track. And Dean Blackwell was given a prophecy, was given a Bible study, and I went to listen to it, and I don't know what it was on then, Ezekiel, we'll say, and it was on prophecy. And Mrs. Rush's daughter told me, well, we have all those tapes. So I have sent for them. I have all the tapes on Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. I've got them all, and when you go through Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, you're going to cover everything in the Old Testament because it refers to Malachi, it refers to Zechariah. And then people say that we followed the Old Testament. Well, I got too many papers in here. If you want to come and look at my Bible, the New Testament's wore out. It's not the Old. You know where the Old is wore out? Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and wherever that took me to. People said we didn't preach Jesus Christ, or the Koch did. And a lot of people were so glad to hear that they didn't have to do it. Well, Aaron Dean, I got a thing at home, and this is not in my notes either, but I think it's important to note. Aaron Dean said the reason so many people left, they hadn't made God's will their will. They was there because mom and dad told him to go. My son was there because maybe mom and dad told him to go. His wife, her dad was a local elder in Indianapolis by the name of Deshaun. When they said this wasn't right, he was thrilled to death the next day. I started writing to Koch. You got to know what the Bible says, not what some man comes along and says it's not true. You got to follow this book. And it's very important. If you make it your will, If you make God's word your will, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, keep the Sabbath. Can you prove it's the Sabbath? We should be keeping it. Well, over the years ago, for young people and some of you, when I was young, and I was young once, you've never seen me that way, but I was young once. When you're going to prove Saturday or Sunday, it was because Christ was resurrected on Sunday. That was why they kept it. How many of you here can prove Christ was resurrected on Saturday? I can prove to you it's resurrected on Saturday. And that's the easiest one for me now, because if that's the reason you're keeping it, you ought to be keeping Saturday. And then you make God's will your will. And then when you're doing it, you're not doing it against your will. You're doing it because God wants you to. And as I say, I was going to prove God and our church was right. The holy days were right. You know, all of them are prophecy. All of your holy days are prophecy. But let me get on here because I'm not going to get done in time. Anyway, he said that Germany is a leader at that rate. That's the main point. Where I do want to cover. I'll cover what I can here, and then I'll come back and finish it someday. What about Germany? Here's an article written December the 3rd, 2011. Germany is calling the shots over the debt crisis. Now, this article written here said Germany was the strongest, this book I gave you. They were the strongest at that time. Now, here's a Polish foreign minister whose nation lost millions of people in the Nazi invasion and occupation. Shocked many this week when he made a dramatic appeal for greater German influence. He says, you know full well that nobody else can do it. Here's a Polish guy. Germany whipped their butt, tens of millions of people killed. Nobody but Germany can unite it. I will probably be the first Polish foreign minister in history to say so, but here it is. I feel German power less than I am beginning to fear German inactivity. So at first they feared German power. Now he's more scared if Germany don't do something, that Europe is going to go down and have major trouble. Now, by the way, as I told you, that was in December of 2011. Here's July the 1st of 2012. There's a twofold difference between the United States and Europe in how they handle their financial problems. The first difference is the lack of a physical union. They've got an economic union, but they don't have a physical union. Then Germany has little, the difference is in between that and the United States. Germany has no control over how these debtor nations run their country. So nobody's in charge. So he is saying that somebody has to become in charge. Now, remember now, this was foretold in 1934. And the Bible says, look back, see what somebody said was going to happen. Look and see if it happened. And he said, false gods can't do this. And if God doesn't reveal it to them, Mr. Armstrong couldn't have done it. Now, I know some people, I've even been accused of worshiping Mr. Armstrong. But he told me, follow the book. Don't follow him. Some of you made a mistake. You begin to follow the man. Then when the catch came in, you still followed the man. You didn't know the book. So you need to know this book. Here it says, Europe forges physical union, sees the way out of the crisis. So if you read today, you'll think Europe's in major trouble. And the European Union is, but not certain nations. European leaders agreed Friday to redefine their continent, hoping that by joining their physical fortunes, they might stop a crippling debt crisis, saving the euro currency and preventing worldwide economic chaos. Only one country said no. 27 nations over there in Europe. You know who the one is? Britain. Mr. Armstrong said they wouldn't stay. They said they will not come under Germany as a political leader or anybody else. They will not stay in it. But I would have gave up when I would have said, England's not going to be a part of the European common market, and they join. and Italy, if Germany was laying an anchor, then a wall goes up. There's a lot of reasons I wouldn't keep preaching the same thing. He was revealed from this Bible that it was going to happen. And for some of you that isn't following, it is happening. And I'll show you that it is. One country said no. This is a breakthrough in the stability union, Germany. And Chancellor Angela Merkel said, we are using the crisis as an opportunity for renewal. So they're in a depression. They're in a recession too. They're going to use that crisis to do something. To prevent excessive deficits, countries in the treaty will have to submit their national budgets to the European Commission. Right now, Spain controls their own. You hear they're in trouble. Greece, they're in trouble. But when they come into the ten nations, whoever is in it, Germany is going to be controlling their budget. And they're going to take advantage of this to bring this 10 nation together. Here's an article, January the 23rd. France's AA rating has been turned down. Left Germany as the sole AA rated country in the currency. So Germany right now is the leader. Global economy is the worst shape since 2009. The global economy is in this worst shape. 6 of the 17 countries that use the euro are in recession. 6 of them. There's 17 countries that use the euro. 6 of them in recession. 11 of them are not. And Germany is the leader. They're not. So you're going to see a 10 nation unite, and you're going to see how ended up that this was foretold since 1934. And you can prove that God is the God of this Bible. And I've got a lot of other ways you can prove it. But here is a financial letter that I take. And it says, and then finally, in keeping with the recent trend in Germany, for stronger than expected data prints, Germany's unemployment fell 34,000 in January. That's 10,000 less. This brings the German unemployment rate to the lowest since the series began in 1992. And this guy says, wow. He wasn't expecting that to happen either. Here's good news from the Eurozone this morning. This is written in January of 12. Comes from Germany. When the economy is saying a recession, Germany is saying, what recession? Germany's gross national product was weaker in 2011 than it was in 2010, but it still beat the census forecast, coming right in at 3% in 2011, which was 3.7% in 2010. So it's still doing better than any of the rest of them. Now, the guy ahead of Iran, he looks up at Europe and says that that their economy, see, he added that Iran's economy was in much better shape than Europe, which is on the verge of collapse. Now, if you see, our church not only foretold Germany, we foretold what was going to happen in the Middle East. We foretold what was going to happen to King of the North. We foretold what was going to happen to King of the South. We foretold what was going to happen to the United States. And I want to maybe get to some of that. Just in 1964, Mr. Armstrong warned that a massive financial crisis centered in America would ripple across the whole world and would spark the rise of the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. 1964. Did any of you know that in 1964? When did it happen? 9/11. In 1984, 20 years later, Mr. Ormfax became even more specific. In 1984, he wrote that a massive banking crisis in America can suddenly result in triggering the European nations to unite as a new world larger power in the Soviet Union of the United States. And when that happens, then the second coming of Christ is going to come in the kingdom of God. This was told back in 64 and back in 84. that we would have a banking crisis. How he even went on to know that. He seen what was going to happen in the United States. They were smart enough to be revealed that a banking crisis was going to cause it. We had a banking crisis, and which is called a recession all over the world. And this hasn't happened yet, but he said that will cause the 10 nations to unite in Europe. And if you follow enough, and of course I read financial letters, I knew in the 50s, I took a financial letter that I still take, and it told me that I would never receive Social Security. The guy had a very simple message. We believe that 3% inflation a year is good for our prosperity. Now, he used the analogy, that's like, and you women don't understand it, like being 3% pregnant. You're finally going to deliver. You can't take 3% out of a dollar and make it 97 cents and take another 3% out next year, take another 3%, another 3%. And then he said that crime would get so bad that, you know, you'd want to keep bars on your window. And this guy isn't in the church now. He just sees the economic problem. Now, if Mr. Armstrong revealed that wisdom, he said we would have a banking crisis that would cause a worldwide recession and cause Europe to unite. What is Europe trying to do now? Well, in these things that I just read you, they're trying to take this crisis and put the nations together and have one leader, which is going to be Germany, because they're the one that's financial, been foretold all the time that I've been in the church. Another thing we've been foretold, that we would lose all of our sea gates. Any of you read this book? We would lose our sea gates. This is how many we've lost. You can see it. Now, during the time that Mr. Carter, he was talking about giving away the Panama Canal. And it's interesting, during my lifetime, I knew we was going to give it away. And then when our God, who puts presidents in? God. He put the man in that would give away the Panama Canal. Foretold, clear back in 1954, that we would give away our sea gates. And then we've done it. We've gave it away. And the reason I brought it up, I was alive when that happened. I can also remember when there was a war over there, and I was listening to the radio, and I was that when they was going into the war, who was going to win it and how they was going to win it. Now, God says, watch these things. Are you watching them? You know, do you see these things that are happening? Well, that's one reason why they have ministers and so forth to show them to you. Now, I'm fortunate. I learn these things. I'm reading it. I have another economic letter, which is on currency. And this guy tells you to get out of the United States currency. You know, get into China currency or whatever. In fact, this guy thinks China is going to take over the reserve currency of the world. How many of you know what the reserve currency is? Okay, not many. The reserve currencies is every nation has to use our dollar. When they want to, Germany wants to trade with Italy, we got to use the dollar. That's one of the things that's keeping us away, keeping us alive. I'm going to read you quickly here because I won't be able to go into it. This is written in 1984. Rod Meredith wrote it. Prophecy reveals where we're headed now. Now here's what it is. The only one source that can give you a genuine understanding of world events is the Bible. Look what was written in 1984. The U.S. dollar and the British pound sterling will eventually be replaced as a key reserve currency of international trade and commerce. Now, Britain's already out of it. So it's just the United States. I'm not going to have the time. And I've got all kind of articles here that show that we're losing our reserve currency. That's all our political will. See if I can find one thing on the reserve currency. Oh, they're back in this. Okay. China, he says, this financial, for I truly believe that eventually the Chinese will achieve wide distribution of their currency, float it, and look to take over the reserve currency of the world. We foretold it in 1984. And I didn't know what the world currency was, but reading this financial letter all the time, and this guy mentions it over and over and over. That, and even right now, let's see what he says here. But it discusses an agreement between China and Japan to directly trade their currencies in an attempt to move away from using the U.S. dollars. There is still another strike for the long term of U.S. dollars as a reserve currency. So as I've read this, we can see this is China and Japan. And here he says, I began giving presentations on the dollar losing its status as a reserve currency of the world. This is written in January 25, 12. January the 3rd, so now probably about 90% of trade in Asia, they trade among each other, done without using the dollars. So it's for people like me that study this and is interested in it. Asia, 90% of them don't use the dollar anymore. China is traded with Russia, not using the dollar anymore. Other nations are starting to do that. When we lose the reserve currency of the world, then, as was written here, this is one thing it's going to bring about. Boy, I got a good note. You ever notice that? Once we lose the reserve currency of the world, Mr. Meredith said back in 1940, then rising from the foundation already laid down by the European Union, a union of nations in Europe will arise and quickly begin to exert not only a major economic, which is a euro, but a political, which is they're in the process of doing now. They're going to unite. They're not going to have all that. It's going to be a political one. And it even says a religious and military influence in the world. So there's going to be a religion involved in it. Most of you should know what that is if you followed in prophecy. So when we lose our reserve currency, Mr. Meredith said, this would cause the 10 nations, of course, what? It's going to cause the 10 nations because of an economic problem we have. And Mr. Armstrong said in the same year, you'd have a banking crisis. So that we are told to watch. And we do have to help. That's why the purpose of the plain truth or our good news and so forth is to help us watch, because we can't watch. I can also go and show you how many know we're going to become a debtor nation. Okay? It's told from the way we're going to become a debtor nation. And the reason how they knew that is Mr. Armstrong knew that we are Manasseh. And he will read prophecies that were going to happen to Israel and Manasseh and say it's going to happen to us. You know how much we're in debt? $16 trillion? Well, you really only know part of it. I might give you more detail on this later. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 48, that we will become a debtor nation. Now, let me give you some statistics, and then I'll close this off. Our debt problem stands at 17 trillion. And the real debt, called the unfunded liabilities, is $119 trillion. You know what the unfunded liabilities are? All the baby boomers are going on Social Security. I forget how many it says will be going on there a year. It's like, I don't know, how many thousands of baby boomers are going to start going on Social Security. And it's already broke. So our real debt is $119 trillion. Now, the good part of this is we are to pray to God to be counted worthy to escape these things to come to pass. It's brought out in the sermonette. If we know we don't get upset over this, well, you should be thrilled to death and rejoice that you understand it and know that as long as we follow God, keep his Sabbath, keep his holy days, try and overcome, God's going to take care of us. If I was not in this church, one time I was going to join the John Birch Society. You know, back then that was a bad word after a while, but they're the one that said you should believe in the police. And the way they took the John Birch Society down, they called them communists. So whenever something is might be good, you're going to be called communist. So let me see if I can find the last page here. And I didn't go through all this. But in conclusion, what have we proven? We've proven the Bible is inspired by the real God of the universe. God in Daniel 2 told what's going to happen from Nebuchadnezzar to the coming of Christ. And then he fills it in another chapter. How did we do this? By following what God told us to do. If you want to prove who it is, show us what you have foretold to happen, and then look it up and see if it happened. The reserve currency is happening. We are losing our reserve currency. Far, far more than any of you realize. And you don't even know what the reserve currency is. Germany has risen from ashes, risen from the wall being torn down. Now the leader politically. And when it unites, even Poland says Germany has to be the head. How did Mr. Armstrong know that? Did you know it? I'd have gave up 20 years ago or more. Now that's what we did. We saw what was going to happen to Germany. A lot of it has come to pass. We're watching for the future prophecies to come to pass. A 10-nation European empire to unite politically with Germany as its head. And then we're looking forward to the coming of Christ. So are we in the last days? The answer is yes. Will it happen in 2 years, 10 years? I don't know. But I will know. I told somebody once years ago, somebody put a knife to my throat and said he's going to kill me. And I seen 10 nations unite and Germany was ahead of it. And I seen all these prophecies happen. I said, go ahead. I'll be back in 3.5 days or so and I'll be talking to you. See? But you got to know it's going to happen. This Bible says it foretells the end from the beginning. And you can watch the prophecies and then you can pray to God that God will continue to bless you. And I hope and what it does with me, it increases my faith. Because when I see things that happen, I know this is inspired by God. Our church was inspired by God. Now, people didn't always read the book and follow it, but you want to keep your nose in it, keep your nose in what prophecy is, and it's 2 minutes after, so amen and goodbye.